News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero.
And sitting in today for Margaret is Emily Valdez. 45 days to go until Election Day. On today's Countdown 2024, abortion. It's perhaps the most contentious and divisive issue in American politics. Passions flare when the topic comes up. Arguments break out between friends and people hardly ever budge on the issue, and we'll talk to a pro-life activist and then a reproductive rights expert about abortion's role in this year's election. But first, this.
The feds say the man accused in the apparent assassination attempt of Donald Trump wrote a note months earlier saying that he intended to kill the former president. It was dropped off at the home of an unidentified person who contacted investigators after the arrest last Sunday of Ryan Ruth. Ruth was denied bond today in court. He's going to remain in custody.
Former President Trump is pulling slightly ahead of Vice President Harris in three battleground states in the Sun Belt. The latest New York Times Siena College poll shows Trump up 5 points in Arizona and 4 points in Georgia. Now, it's closer in North Carolina, with Trump leading by only 2 points. The same poll had Harris slightly leading Trump. That was back in August in both Arizona and North Carolina.
And some Republicans in Nebraska are trying again to change how the state awards its electoral votes. They want to make the 5 votes winner-take-all instead of splitting them up like it's done now in the state. An effort to do that failed back in April. President Biden won 1 electoral vote from Nebraska in 2020. If Harris wins this time around, it could be just enough to give her the 270 needed to win. If that vote goes to Trump, we could see an electoral college tie, which means the House will pick the winner.
So now let's talk abortion and whether it will be a major difference maker come November. With us now is pro-life activist Lila Rose. She's the founder and president of Live Action. It's a nonprofit group that uses media and storytelling to promote pro-life and anti-abortion efforts. A little bit later in the show, we will talk to somebody who's very much on the opposite side of this. But first, Lila, let me ask you something. I'm curious if at the end of the day, you would prefer there be a federal ban on abortion. And I ask that because, as I'm sure you know, if Harris wins, that's not going to happen. And even Trump says he wouldn't sign something like that if it came to his desk. Is that, though, your goal?
Thanks so much for having me on. And yes, our goal is complete legal protection for human beings, for their right to live. You know, abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. We know when life begins, it doesn't begin magically at birth. Life begins before birth, at the moment of fertilization. And this is a human being. This is a human life. And we need to respect the most fundamental rights of every human being. So the pro-life position is inherently about justice for the child and ensuring that their right to life is respected. So absolutely, there should be complete legal protections for these children. Those legal protections should not start at birth, but before birth.
So when we saw, this is Emily, Kansas came forward and put a state constitution, so abortion could be legal. It seems a lot of women, a lot of people don't share the same opinion as you. And this is a big, big topic for this year's election. What is your take on that?
Thanks, Emily. Yeah, this is a huge debate happening in the country right now. And this has been a debate even before the fall of Roe v. Wade, before Dobbs v. Jackson. And it's ongoing because I think deep down, most people are uncomfortable with abortion. We know that there's a loss there. We know that there's something hurtful or harmful happening there. And that's because abortion is the taking of an innocent life. You know, an abortion procedure in the first trimester through the abortion pill is designed to chemically starve the developing baby of nutrients to force an early miscarriage. In the second trimester,
how do you think this is going to play out in the election? Because abortion rights is a big topic, and a lot of people may be voting for Harris for that reason, because she's pro-choice.
Yeah, I do think that the tactic of the Democrats right now is to use a lot of misinformation and fear-mongering. They are telling people, they're misinforming people that somehow women miscarrying or suffering miscarriage are not going to get the care that they need because of pro-life laws. This is this is false. This is not true. There's not a single pro-life law in the country that prevents miscarriage care. There's a profound difference between an abortion, which intentionally takes the life of a living baby, and miscarriage care, where the baby has already passed away and you might need to use a procedure to remove that baby who's already dead. There's no fetal heartbeat from the body of his or her mother. And so a lot of this has been the tactic of Kamala Harris's campaign, unfortunately, to mislead people to say you're not going to get health care if there is a pro-life law in place. And that's simply not true.
But let me ask you something, because, and we kind of briefly touched on it at the very beginning of the show. In state after state where abortion has come up on the ballot, women to a large degree drove those drives, and in most of those states that have had votes thus far, they have embraced a position that would allow, at least in different states up to different points, but would allow abortion.
Some form of abortion, right.
So is it your view, though, that the women in those states who voted in favor of having some form of abortion available to women, are they just misinformed?
Well, to be clear, I think what you're referring to, some of these ballot initiatives, which are state amendments, like in California, there was Proposition 1, which legalized abortion through all 9 months for any reason in the state. Most people don't realize that the Democratic Party's platform and the push of a lot of these laws, like in California, are not just legalizing some abortions, they're legalizing any abortion for any reason. I mean, you could have a third trimester abortion in California for any reason.
I don't think California would allow abortion
up to 9 months. We'll have to fact check that.
To be clear, abortion in the state of California is permitted through 9 months, provided that the woman desires it and says she wants it, and she gets a healthcare person, which could in this case would be the abortionist, who's, by the way, making thousands of dollars, sometimes upwards of $10,000 off of a later term abortion. And, you know, an abortion in the second trimester is just as horrific as an abortion in the third. I think we have this mindset that as long as it's not happening in the ninth month of pregnancy, it's okay. The baby's heart is beating in every abortion. The baby is pain capable by some experts say as early as 15 weeks and certainly by 20 weeks.
All right, but I want to get back.
All right,
but
Lila,
I want to get back to the election because that's what's coming up. I would imagine, though, that, I mean, you're talking about, in your view, misinformation coming from the Harris camp. But yet, as I said at the very beginning, Donald Trump has said that he is not in support of a federal law banning abortion, which is something that you've said you would be in favor of. So you must then, I would think, be disappointed in him as well.
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right that it's a disappointment when President Trump has softened the Republican Party platform on life, and he's been making these ultimately overtures, I think, to those that are strongly in support of abortion. And I don't think it's going to be a winning strategy for the Trump campaign. You know, Kamala Harris is passionately pro-abortion. She was the one who tried to put pro-life investigators in jail in the state of California who exposed the sale of baby body parts at Planned Parenthood. She used her power as attorney general to go after the journalists instead of Planned Parenthood. She tried to get pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise abortions when she was in state politics in California. And now she wants abortion on demand with taxpayer-funded for any reason without any restriction. You know, most Americans want some abortion restrictions. Kamala Harris opposes every single abortion restriction, including those in the late term. So it is disappointing when President Trump has this opportunity to differentiate himself in a strong way from the very hardcore extreme pro-abortion extremism on the Democrat side. But President Trump has not been doing that. Instead, he's making these sort of overtures to those that would say they want abortion to be legalized through all 9 months. And I think that's a missed opportunity. There is a passionate group, and they don't get a lot of media time. And they, you know, there's a lot of narratives against them. But there are millions of pro-life Americans, millions of pro-life women. I work with thousands of women volunteers who are passionately pro-life, who think that
Can I stop you? There are a lot of pro-life women, but it seems like there are more that are pro-choice.
Well, this is the battle, right? This is the battle of information. And, you know, our work is to change hearts and minds and help people see the humanity of the baby, help people have a better vision for women in healthcare than to say we need to kill our babies to somehow survive or thrive, that we need this lethal violence against children as women's empowerment. I'm a young woman. I say, no, I reject that view. I think we can do better for women. And I think babies, of course, deserve better. And I work with thousands of medical professionals. Like, there's an incredible network of them in this country that they don't get any airtime. But there are thousands of medical professionals who are passionately pro-life.
I'm going to cut you short only because we are going to run out of time. But we did double check what the law is in California for abortion. And what it is that abortion is allowed in California, but only up until the point of viability of the fetus. And after that point, obviously, if there's some sort of a medical emergency, that's a different scenario. But after viability, a woman cannot just decide, I'm going to get an abortion.
To be clear, that's incorrect. The statute talks about health reasons, which can be interpreted to mean any reason that the woman indicates, whether it's her financial, emotional, any reason that she would have, she can use to justify an abortion. It's completely up to her and the abortionist. So if they decide together, this is for my good in any way, my health, whether it's economically, my emotional health, I just am not, you know, feeling ready for this baby for any reason, you can get an abortion. You can get an abortion in any month of pregnancy in the state of California.
Thank you so much, Lila. We have to go now. Coming up, we're going to hear about whether the pro-choice side can influence the election outcome in just 45 days when Countdown 2024 continues.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thanks for sticking around with us on Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Emily Valdez.
Now, we're back talking about abortion and the role it might play at the ballot box in November. We just heard from pro-life activist Lila Rose, but is the pro-life side dwindling in influence, at least among the general public? We saw the pro-choice side win in the past couple of years on ballot measures in conservative states such as Kansas. Here with us is someone who has been studying the abortion debate her entire career. Mary Ziegler is a reproductive rights expert at the UC Davis School of Law. She's also the author of several books, including her most recent, Roe, The History of a National Obsession. Mary, I know you were listening to the first half of the show with Lila Rose, and she was very emphatic in stating that here in California, a woman could have an abortion pretty much at will up to and including in the ninth month of pregnancy, which we do not think is correct. But you're the expert. Is it correct?
Well, you were correct that there is a viability limit. I think what Lila Rose was saying, which is a common belief among people in the pro-life movement, is that if there's a health exception after viability, people in the pro-life movement think health includes mental health, and that to them includes abortion on demand. The reality is that that isn't how California doctors operate because of fear of legal liability. And that was pretty evident when we had a campaign for our own ballot measure here, where the common talking point from folks in the pro-life movement was that the ballot measure would eliminate a viability limit we otherwise had, right? So the real world scenario in California is that there is a limit, and that's something that progressives have sometimes been unhappy about, in fact.
So just to clarify, she is kind of right, but kind of wrong, you're saying, because I know she mentioned, well, it's viability. And she mentioned, well, if the woman doesn't think she can afford it, just doesn't want the baby, it is
legal?
No, I
mean, if you went to the doctor, you'd have to have a valid health reason. And we've seen from the aftermath of the Supreme Court's overruling of Roe that physicians are not exactly throwing caution to the wind when it comes to legal liability. If anything, they've been very risk averse. So we haven't seen evidence in California. And in fact, that's been one of the sort of main organizing talking points for abortion rights advocates who are unhappy that there is a viability limit in California that they see as a problem. So actual practice in California is that the viability limit is in place pretty strongly, unless there's something resembling a health crisis, which isn't going to be someone coming in and saying, I'm not ready for a baby. I don't think a physician would be willing to risk that kind of liability.
Explain to our listeners what viability means.
Viability is a term that came from Roe v. Wade in 1973, and it stands for the idea that of when a baby can survive outside of the womb, or at least have a reasonable chance of survival outside of the womb with you know, reasonable medical intervention, right? And so that was the old limit that Roe v. Wade had. California wrote it into law some time ago. There's some question about what California's ballot initiative means in practice, like a lot of constitutional amendments. You know, that'll probably be teased out in court, but there's no, I think no one argued yet that I've seen that a viability limit is unconstitutional, which I guess is an argument we could see play out later.
Okay, now as you, I'm sure, heard as well, Lila is in favor, she says, of having a federal ban on abortion, which of course Kamala Harris, if she wins, that wouldn't happen because she would veto it even if it went through Congress. But even Mr. Trump says that he wouldn't sign that. Do you believe him?
Well, I mean, he said a lot of different things. So he said he would veto it. Then he refused to answer a question during the debate about whether he would veto it. And then J.D. Vance started saying he couldn't say whether Trump would veto it because Trump's position wasn't clear. Trump's been equally sort of ambiguous about the Comstock Act, which is a 19th century obscenity law that people like Lila argue already operates as a ban on mailing all abortion-related items and therefore as a de facto ban on all abortions. So J.D. Vance, as a senator, has called for the Department of Justice to use the Comstock Act as an abortion ban. And Trump really hasn't been very clear on whether he would support that or not. So my honest answer is I have no idea. I mean, I don't think we can be certain that Trump wouldn't do those things at a minimum.
Mary, do you think that abortion is ever going to reach a point, the issue, when it's not going to be an important part of a presidential election?
I think really the interesting question is just if our politics will ever line up with our preferences, right? So one of the sort of remarkable things about polling in the United States and politics in the United States is if you look at any number of states, including a lot of the states with abortion bans, those bans are pretty unpopular. And so I could imagine a scenario where most states or at the national level, there was a policy that most Americans supported, but for a long time, our abortion politics have reflected the views of the people who felt the most strongly, which weren't necessarily the people in the majority, or sometimes the people who donated the most money or who organized the most effectively. So I think as long as we're in a scenario where we are now, where you see, you know, poll after poll in a lot of states saying people are unhappy with the status quo, and yet the status quo persists, that's not something that's going to be stable, and it's not something that's going to stay out of presidential elections.
Yeah, I don't recall this being such a big deal when Roe versus Wade was there. I don't recall abortion being such a big issue. What are your predictions on how big of a role abortion rights will play in this upcoming election?
Well, I think it's going to be significant in part because we know at least polling suggests this presidential election is going to be one of the closest in recent memory. And we know that abortion is part of what's driving what looks to be a historic gender gap in voting preferences. Having said that, you know, it is a historically what's shaping up to be a historically close election. So I don't know if it will be enough, for example, to push Kamala Harris over the edge. And that's even true, although there, for example, are ballot measures in critical swing states like Arizona that in theory would boost Harris. But we've seen already that voters are capable of splitting their votes. In other words, voting for ballot measures and then not voting for Democrats. So it's still too soon to know how those are going to play out as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Mary Ziegler with the UC Davis School of Law joining us here for a contentious debate on abortion. When is it not?
On tomorrow's edition of Countdown 2024, the Latino vote, it's growing not just here in California, but the rest of the country as well. We'll look into how Latino voters could shape the 2024 election and the elections beyond. Remember, we are here every day at 2:30. If you miss us, you can hear it again at 8. Also on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All you have to do is search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.